I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Shocks away, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's FA Cup semi-final weekend, but there is a little Premier League action too, and Spurs are finally in their new stadium. Hi, gang.
Hello.
Hello.
Good to have you and the listeners with us.
Yes.
I should have said with me, really. That doesn't make sense with us.
No, it's okay.
It's okay, ladies and gentlemen.
I think people appreciated the overwhelmingly positive, sentimental start to the show.
I felt like I was in church and also with you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Now share the peace with one another.
Yeah.
Peace be with you, Jim.
Who brought the bread?
Thanks, mate.
And the wine.
You're meant to say peace be with you, back.
Shall we shake hands across the...
Oh, a bit of Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah.
You don't do that every Sunday in church. Bloody well should do.
When I'm pissed, I am.
Does anyone know all the words to Auld Lang Syne?
No.
No, just get a mumble through it, eh?
For Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for Auld Lang Syne. And it just repeats those words in the different...
I'll tell you who does know it.
Yeah, until there's one person standing.
Do you remember Tony Blair's wife? She was well into it.
What was that?
I think that was Auld Lang Syne, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was. She was giving it some absolute stacks. I respected it at the time. And I respect it now, damn it. She was right into it.
Remember she had a dad who was in a lot of films, Booth,
Booth, yeah.
Booth. Wasn't he in like Confessions of a Window Cleaner and stuff like that?
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know that.
Father or uncle or something.
I didn't know that.
He was in a body comedy. Yeah. Well.
But on the old giving it some stats kind of thing,
yeah.
I think it's a tendency if you're British to awkwardly go into things like half-heartedly and be kind of embarrassed. Yeah. I think you've absolutely, if you get put up in a situation where you're about to be embarrassed, you've just got to go for it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to come out of it with a bit of credit, at least for trying your best.
I know what you mean.
You although don't be awkward.
But the awkward people sneer at that.
And that's wrong with them.
I've got a karaoke tip for anyone that is like that.
Go on.
Do a Louis Armstrong song.
Yes.
You have to do it in a semi-silly voice.
I do agree with that.
Or
the Proclaimers, 500 Miles.
Yeah.
Because everyone's sort of, I say everybody.
Play to your accents.
The key.
Sorry, that's one for me, really.
Yeah. The key to karaoke is just not doing a serious song. Don't go up there and do Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On.
That's absolutely
right. Do you
know
what I mean? Because he's got a lot of pauses, a lot of instrumental breaks.
Pete, you should be doing Crocodile Shoes.
I can't be 100%. I can't be asked with people who do karaoke and they do raps. And it's just like, you try to be cool and you're not really singing.
There's a guy,
sound dreadful, ruin the night.
There's a guy at our university, I'm not going to name him, but you'll know exactly who I'm talking about.
Uh-huh,
he's
Jim
kind
Campbell.
Of an events kind of thing. He's an events kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Steve Events.
He did the karaoke version of the fast version of that Gorillaz song with the rap.
Mm. Right.
You remember?
The
fast rap.
Yeah.
And it was, and bearing in mind I've made almost 1,000 podcasts with you three, it was
excruciating.
The worst vocal performance of anything I have ever seen.
I'd like to say right now, sorry ladies and gentlemen, for the last minute and a half I genuinely forgot we were recording a podcast. Yeah.
If I can get us back on track,
Jim,
I once saw Sherry Blair and George Foreman.
George Foreman?
The same lunch break, kissing. Separately from each other.
Do you know what? When you said George Foreman, I thought you meant George Formby. Yeah. I thought, that's not true.
Back to window cleaners again.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's amazing. That is really a very good...
They're both quite decent spots, aren't
Pair
they?
Of spots,
but it was in Covent Garden. Very weird.
I had lunch next to, as people who listen to Luke and Pete show will know as well, I just mentioned it, I had lunch next to the head trainer coach kind of guy
of Manchester City
from SAS Who Dares Wins.
Okay.
And I could not pick him out of a lineup.
Might be it, no, it was.
But I was going to say, all right, let's move on.
Well, do we need to? Any new listeners tuning in have probably gone by now. So.
We don't want them.
Yeah. Talking of celebrity spots, some people spotted Phil Foden starting a game for Man City the other night, or was it last night?
Last night.
Well, let's start with the FA Cup, shall we? Manchester City playing Brighton. Who do we fancy for this one?
Well, the thing is, it feels to me like Brighton's only chance is just through pure the pure statistical improbability of any team doing a quadruple.
Yeah.
Something has to give somewhere. And could it be this? Other than that, I don't know.
Keep watching that Wigan video from last season when they put them out. Remember when Spurs got ill just before the game against West Ham last day of the season, number of years ago?
Lasagna Gate.
Yeah, yes, I do. Get that chef into the Man City hotel.
Yeah. That's probably going to be their own. It's not their only chance because it's a one-off game. You never know what can happen.
There you go.
Brighton, of course, got to a final, didn't they? 1983, were beaten on a replay by Man United. In the first game, they scored with a couple of minutes to go to tie it up. And a man who scored in that game was, of course, the great Ray Wilkins, who died, passed away, sadly, a year ago today. So
very sadly.
He's in our thoughts, of course.
With regards to the match, Man City versus Brighton, it's not an argument, but one tiny teensy piece of evidence you've suggested that Brighton have a slight chance was a match that happened in 1983.
Yeah. And likely before anyone involved was born.
Two different sides.
That was tenuous. I think they've got a chance purely because it's a semi-final. Once you're in the semi-final, you're part of the conversation and all that kind of stuff. Mm. The bad news for Brighton is that although Man City got out of jail in a big way against Swansea, and we all saw that, and the decisions and all the rest of it, they've kind of battered everyone else they've played in the FA Cup.
Yep.
They've had a few big wins, as we'd expect.
They've got some good players.
And it depends how Brighton treat the game. Depends how Brighton treat the game, doesn't it? Because Brighton, we know, they're a bit of a home side, aren't they? A bit of a homer team.
It suggests that last night's match at Stamford Bridge would suggest they're very much focusing on that semi-final. Yeah.
But they've got to turn Wembley into a good atmosphere. There's been talk. I heard it on the radio this morning. There's been talk of Man City fans for that game last night not turning up.
I think it's about 20,000 seats or
there
something.
There we go. So, if I'm not suggesting they are. I don't want to get the backs up of any Man City fans unnecessarily, of course. And that this is kind of a thing that happens around and about. You know, it happened with Spurs when they played against Apoel in the Champions League. It's happened against when Barcelona played, I think, Shakhtar. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of empty seats. It does happen with these teams that are used to winning games.
And a lot of the fans are paying a lot of money to other trips.
Exactly. And to be fair, on the radio, the guy called in and he said, look, I've got to prioritise. I'm hoping we get to the final of the Champions League. I want to go to that. I've got a family. I get all that.
And the final of the FA Cup, they might save themselves.
I'm not blaming the fans, but what I am saying is,
get yourself down there.
It's an opportunity for Brighton. If Brighton can take over that stadium, give it a real atmosphere, like it feels like a home game.
Well, they are brilliant at the Annex as well.
Exactly. That's my point.
And also, there is currently nobody occupying Wembley Stadium. Spurs have moved out.
They've gone.
Make it your home, Brighton.
It's up for grabs.
Because you could play your next two cup games there.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do.
And is it time to revisit the conversation about semi-finals at Wembley, or have we already done that to death?
They did used to do that many years ago. People think it's a new thing. It's not a new thing. You know,
No,
you remember Gascoigne's.
Do you mean like 2 or 3 years ago?
No, do you not remember Gascoigne's free kick against Arsenal? That was at Wembley.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Sheffield Wednesday and Sheffield United played a semi-final at Wembley. Correct me if I'm wrong there. But and that was in 93.
But regardless of whether it happened before, does that make it good? Because I feel like it's just, you know, maybe it's the 90s kidding me, but an FA Cup semi-final should be at Villa Park.
Well,
do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
both those games. I don't know. I didn't know this. This is new information to me, so I'm not an expert at all. Those two games you've mentioned are both derby games.
Mm-hmm.
So is it because
Arsenal, Spurs
and Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday? Is it because of that? I mean, is it because
I don't know?
They couldn't play it. Because I guess this. Yeah, because you need.
So they couldn't play it at Hillsborough because of Sheffield Wednesday.
The semi-final's always been in neutral territory. Leland Road was one between Villa and Chelsea, I think. You know, Villa Park, Arsenal, Manchester United, when Giggs took his
top. That's
what
we're saying.
Yeah, so both of those games you mentioned, they're both from teams that were, it would be a derby. It would be a derby where the teams are quite close to each other. So they'd have to play somewhere else, wouldn't they? They couldn't play anything.
No. Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday versus Sheffield United could be at Villa Park.
It was
always a neutral ground.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so
but now it's a thing. It's like an official thing where every single semi-final is played there, right?
Mm. It is, yeah. I mean,
back then it was the exception rather than the rule. This is the rule. Every season, the semi-finals are played there.
Yeah. And is that a shame, is what I'm asking?
In terms of the actual venue and in terms of, you play there and then you play again, I personally... Newcastle-Chelsea semi-final was played there off the top of my head. Rob Lee scored a thumping header. But Gus Poyet scored the winner. That's not a derby match. So it's happened before. My feelings is that it can be quite a long trip. In the example of that Newcastle, it's a long journey. Not for Chelsea, it's not. So somewhere like Villa Park is a little bit more central in the country or Old Trafford and whatnot. Do you take that into account? I'm not sure how it would work out in terms of securing a stadium we're looking at fixtures, looking at who's playing and so on and so forth. I suppose you need an ounce of that if you've got a neutral ground. So I'm okay with it, but I totally understand why fans...
Is it just Premier League grounds just not wanting to get involved? It could be that. I mean, there's policing issues.
No, it's come from... It originally came from Wembley needing to pay. Need to service it.
Also as well, I suppose that, you know, the people need to think about, fans of, in particular, Brighton, Watford and Wolves. Are they happy to be having the day out at Wembley? That's probably quite fun. And also, as
I'm sure they're bloody delighted.
It's a little bit of a boost potentially for Brighton and for every team.
That should be the prize, though, if you get to the final. That's in an ideal world.
What it does mean is it means that fans get a day out there, and that players who maybe would never have a chance to play there get to play there. They've got more of a chance of playing there. So there are positives to it. I'm just wondering whether we're being overly sentimental by saying, you know, Villa Park and Elland Road and Old Trafford and all these places, all these great games in the past. But as you rightly say, Marcus, I mean, it's happened before. So anyway, it was just a digression that kind of got a bit carried away.
Yeah, but the important thing for Manchester City is Kevin De Bruyne is back.
What a goal. Scored.
Lovely one. Night. He was just involved in so much, as he tends to be when he takes to the field. And I think that's one of the things that will concern a lot of rival teams of Manchester City. Obviously Liverpool in the title running, but certainly Brighton and whatnot. As if they've not got enough without him.
Yeah.
They've been absolutely superb this season, largely without De Bruyne and with that injury. He comes back and you think, he's giving that team even more.
Yeah.
Where does it end? Where does it bloody end?
And Phil Foden coming in the same with Phil
Lovely
as well.
To see. Yeah. Lovely to see.
And obviously an evening where Phil Foden and Callum Hudson-Odoi both started games. You'd fancy, if I was Phil Foden, I wonder if I'd rather have played in the semi-final.
Well, he might do.
You reckon he will play again? I don't think he'll play again.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. We shall see.
I mean, the player doesn't get to choose. That's the manager's decision.
Indeed, yeah, you'd think so. Although I'm sure Benjamin Mendy would be able to choose, though. He seems to do what he wants.
Yeah, he chooses to not play any games.
And go out to the early hours of the morning.
Yeah.
Did you see that with Guardiola sort of slightly bemoaning his behaviour? Only slightly, though, because there was reports that he was out to the early hours of Sunday morning. Just gone on the weekend previously, and he said he's not Mendy's father, and he said I would prefer that he would go to bed a little bit earlier, but he said I'm a relaxed guy and I don't control the players like that.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting, actually, because Guardiola, we think of somebody like Sir Alex Ferguson as your maybe yesteryear. It seems odd to say that about Ferguson because he was so forward thinking and willing to adapt, but his sort of style of management, he wouldn't be having any of that, you wouldn't have thought.
No.
Unless it was Eric Cantona or special circumstances. Mm. Whereas Guardiola, to kind of just say, well, I would prefer this, but I'm not his father and I'm fairly relaxed. Is that the way that a manager needs to be with players nowadays?
I think the way that players used to be treated by managers was probably quite reflective of how managers used to treat employees in the workforce in this country. Now, of course... Yeah, I imagine, obviously, thankfully, I'm not really old enough to know, but in the 70s, I don't imagine it would have been hugely rare to see a manager shouting at an employee or discipline them or give them a dressing down. Don't really do that now in the workforce. Mm-hmm. So it seems obvious to me that that would be reflected in football as well. However, having said that, I don't think for one second that Guardiola has not said something to Mendy behind the scenes as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But to be open about that in the front of the press.
But I think he's just trying to keep a happy camp, be relaxed. He's not going to achieve anything by digging the player out in the press. Mm. You know, some managers do that.
But he ever so slightly did, in a sense that he's saying
to the
press.
But it was pretty gentle, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was gentle. He doesn't have to say it, though. Well, no, but it was put to him. He's got to respond to the question that's being asked. Well, I feel that he pretty much did, didn't he? Effectively, it's not too bad. And also, I think you've got to, as we touched on, you've got to manage each individual within the best way to get the best out of them. And you have to acknowledge that if you are Benjamin Mendy, every single moment of your existence is so much fun that you probably stay out till 3:30 in the morning without even realising.
But the thing about modern footballers, none of them drink. No, barely any of them drink. So actually, you can stay up until 3 o'clock in your own house, or you can go to a nightclub. I don't have a problem with either.
Well, of course you don't, Pete.
I was going to say, goodness knows what would happen.
I mean, why you'd want to be in there without that, I don't know.
To me, it comes down to whether he's keeping an eye on his recovery from whatever injury he's got at the moment, whether he can report for training if he's training, and all that kind of stuff. And I think there is an element where people are treated like adults, and if they let you down, you don't let them let you down twice. You treat it accordingly. Look, Man City are now 4-9 to win the Premier League this season after last night. £10 returns £14.44, including stake, with Bet365.
Early nights or late nights, they are the favourites.
Yeah, I prefer late night sometimes. Mm. I prefer early night sometimes. Depends what I've got going on the next day.
That's like the idea of that.
Yeah, if I've got an FA Cup semi-final the next day, I'll probably go to bed early.
Probably.
Knowing full well that I might be needed off the bench at any moment.
I do like the idea of Man City nights. Yeah. They've all sort of been out on a big one the night before, just to sort of level the playing field a little bit.
Pete's throwing his hat in the ring to do the voiceover.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll go to Chris Finch from The Office, but you got to
Man City nights.
Yeah.
When the margaritas start to flow.
The margaritas flow?
I don't know.
In Man City nights.
They do from the bottles, I guess.
Does the job.
There we are. Well, good luck, Brighton, because you're going to need it. Watford versus Wolves, 7th versus 8th in the Premier League in this FA Cup semi-final. Just 1 point separates them.
This is a thigh rubber. And it's rare that you say that about a game without one of the top six in it. Just putting it out there.
Nice one, Jim. I appreciate that.
I like the idea that one of these teams is going to be in the FA Cup final. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for a semi-final weekend generally anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be a good one. I think Wolves will prevail. I think they've obviously also got a better tradition in the FA Cup than Watford do. I don't think they've ever won it. I think they came runners-up in 1984, the year after Brighton.
Yeah.
Wolves have won it four times, but not since 1960.
16.
Yeah.
If Watford get into the final, surely little halftime show from Elton.
You would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, that would be madness if
Rocket Man, Tiny Dancer, bit of...
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Don't let the sun go down on me.
Actually, no, that's a bad message.
He's just been given one of those YouTube, silver YouTube things that you get when you've got a million subscribers.
Oh, is it?
Elton John.
He'll have that on the piano.
I wouldn't put...
I'll tell you what.
Young kids... Who's Elton John? Oh, he's a YouTuber.
Yeah. I changed my mind.
The world's gone to the...
I'm still standing. Crocodile Rock, out. Second half.
Out.
Yeah.
Medley,
do a medley.
Then at the end when they get knocked out.
Do you know what? I would.
Yes, goodbye, England Rose. Yeah. Candlewind 1997 version.
I would fancy a bit of Rocket Man, though, I have to say. You put that in me.
That's class.
Goodbye, Danny Rose, because you got your own ground now.
Goodbye, Danny Rose.
Well, that's what they should have said.
Yeah.
Again, Mr. Trick Peter.
Yeah. I think Danny Rose is getting worse as a footballer.
Do you?
Yeah. I think he might be a bit rubbish.
Are you worried
now?
He's in here?
I didn't mention it directly to him.
Well, we got a chance to talk about Danny Rose in the second half.
Wolves are a better team than Watford. That's all I'm saying. And I think it would be an incredible capping of their first season back up in the top flight for them to finish where they're about to finish in the league and, you know, get to a cup final. Mm. And I think they've got every chance.
Mm. I was about to say, have Wolves relegated anybody this season? But then they sort of did play their part when they lost to Burnley, was it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
There's relegation dirt on their hands.
The midfield ding-dong for this. Should be great. They are two, you know, busy, energetic, robust midfields.
Well, Watford, you'd say, more robust. Although with Decore, he's
I feel like that this is something that's maybe unfairly levelled at Watford a little bit. Mm. That they're sort of, you know, big and strong, and that's it. Because they are, but there's way more to it than that.
Decore's got a real quality there, and I mean, his goal against Fulham. Sorry,
Capua as well.
Yeah, Capua as well. I mean, Pereira coming off the flank. Mm. I know he's more of a forward kind of player, but they've got some more players. I mean, Will Hughes, what a volley that was against Fulham.
Oh, that's great. Because Doucouré went for it, didn't he? And left it. And I love to see that come off.
Yeah.
Fulham were relegated, weren't they?
They were.
Midweek.
That's it.
Yeah.
Gone.
Done. Went out with a whimper.
Didn't come as a surprise.
They went out with a whimper, though.
I'll be honest with you. A couple of people messaged me and I said, I have been looking forward to seeing Fulham in the Championship for a long time now.
Mm. Yeah. How long?
3 or 4 months.
Right.
That's two relegation for Mitroy in his three or four seasons.
Given how excited we all know Marcus was to see him in the Premier League, that is quite a quick turnaround. Yeah.
Well, no, you could see it going that way, sadly. Really, despite Mitrovic's best.
I heard a rumour the other day, which someone said to me, someone who kind of knows the club quite well said to me they had the chance to sign Gary Cahill and they turned it down. That is a ridiculous decision.
There was a rumour about Cahill. I'm not sure if they turned it down or Cahill didn't. But there was a rumour. And I remember at the time thinking, bloody need him.
He'd be on wages though, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
For a rapidly depreciating asset.
Just a cheeky little loan.
Fulham's owner... He was trying to buy Wembley Stadium not that long ago. Yeah. Gary Hegel's wages are
right.
Put him at the back. It's got a big arch. It's gone through the arch.
That's the problem. It was all going under the arch.
Yeah,
poor old Fulham, eh? I mean, it's just been so, so poor.
I mentioned that because you rather pointedly haven't included this in this running order.
I have. Watford relegated, Fulham after beating them 4-1 this week.
If you let me finish, you haven't included them in the running order that I read properly when you sent it over. Thank you for the reminder.
Yep.
Everyone's happy.
Okay, there we are.
Shahid can't apologise to the Fulham fans, you've also written.
He did. Well, again, his apology like it's as if he wrote it 2 months ago.
Mm. Yeah.
Just sort of saying, I'm sorry, we've thrown an awful lot of mud at the wall, but the trouble is, none of it was very good.
Yeah.
Or
I
sticky.
Think there was obviously a sort of a real storm of circumstances because, yeah, they spent a lot of money on bringing various players in, but very few of them actually performed.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, maybe it's a bit too simplistic to say, oh, it was very difficult to gel that many players at once.
Yeah,
they were unlucky with
better,
what...
It?
Doesn't it?
This is the problem for a side like Fulham. Honestly, last season in the Championship, especially the second half of the season, it was flipping brilliant.
Yeah,
I cannot... It's the best football that, you know, I've seen Fulham play. Not that I've been around there that long, but it was fantastic. And I at the risk of sounding horrifically unambitious, it was almost like if... Because I knew what was going to happen. Everybody did. There's no way you can go up and play football like that in the Premier League. You can give a good account of yourself. And you'd argue maybe Bournemouth have. You know, they've
Wolves
adapted.
Have kind of done
Swansea
that.
Did it for a while.
They did. So it, there is a bit of possibility there. But it's almost like... and again, oh dear, I'm going to sound ridiculous here. But if you... gain promotion, you should have an opt out. Do you know what? We're right here, actually.
Since 2019 ticked over, honestly, the 1st of January, as it always does,
yes,
they've won one game and lost every other game.
Yeah, not even a draw.
The end of January, when they were in big trouble,
they
pulled that win out the fire against Brighton at home, and you thought, okay, you're giving yourself a fighting chance here.
Mm-hmm.
Lost 9 Premier League games in a row since then, and it's not really. Been that close. I mean, I know they sort of...
Hey, Liverpool needed a penalty to beat
Liverpool was the closest one.
Oddly.
Yeah, Liverpool was the closest one, I would say.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just been... It has been absolutely dire.
Yeah.
It's been so, so poor. They've been arguing... Because no one expected anything from Huddersfield. The business Fulham did in the summer, okay, some people, probably on this show even, were saying, look, you've got to be careful because I saw a load of new players and the mix and the blend will be difficult.
And they weren't terrible at the start of the season.
No.
I saw them beat Burnley 4-2. We saw them away at Wembley against Spurs. Now, Spurs were always going to win it, but at 3-1, there was a period of the game that bothered Spurs for a bit. Well,
and the first game of the season, they were at home to Palace. I was at that game and they were probably the better team and they lost 2-0. Anyway, it's gone so badly.
Yeah.
They've been the biggest disappointment in the league this season. You have to say that.
No, I completely agree. Yeah. And I think that was it. When it started to go wrong, the ship sort of started to turn round in the wrong direction. It was kind of like, oh, crap. We don't know what to do. Right. Panic. Get someone else in. Sign a new player. And there was no plan. There was absolutely nothing there. You know, you compare that to, say, someone like Cardiff, who I know they were beaten last night, but that was against Manchester City. And Cardiff looking like they're in trouble now, sadly for them, that loss against Chelsea, of course. But so much more streamlined than Fulham.
Mm.
So much more team spirit there and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But there we are. Fulham will be with Huddersfield in the Championship next season. But
Watford are 15-8 to win the FA Cup semi-final in 90 minutes against Wolves. £10 with Bet365 returns £28.75, including stake. I'm looking forward to this game. I agree with Jim about the thigh rubber. I don't actually mind which team goes through. Mm. I've enjoyed watching Wolves this season. I've enjoyed what Watford have done under Gracia this season as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win for me. I know it won't be for those fans, but I hope it's as good an atmosphere as it has been at Wembley recently.
Mm.
And we'll see a good game.
Of course, Wolves beat Manchester United 2-1, although that's really a subplot for the story of the night.
Yeah.
Mike Dean dished out his 100th red card in the Premier League.
Did you see, I can't remember which ex-referee it was, but he wrote an article and he honestly said in the article, Mike won't have been aware that it was his 100th red card until someone reminded him.
On.
Do me a favour.
There was a lot of reminders in the media.
Be honest, bedpost.
100 yellow card at the same time as his 100th red card. You can't buy class.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh my. 100th
yellow card of the season on the same instance that he had his 100th red card of his career.
That is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is absolutely superb stuff from Deeney. In the context of Mike Dean, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I don't understand the Mike Dean hit. He's one of the better referees, and if he does it with flair, we don't criticise Kalina looking a bit.
Who's hating on Deeney?
Some people do.
Some people. Some people,
in this, people not
do.
In this.
Some people
take
the piss
out of
it. There was a period.
Oh no, we take the piss out of it.
There was a period of Mike Dean went through a few years ago. I don't know if you guys remember this. I'm pretty sure I haven't dreamt it. Where he was one of my favourite referees because he would apply the same foul rules in the penalty area as he would on the halfway. And I'm sure he went through a phase of giving loads of penalties.
Mm. He does dish out a few.
And I thought, do you know what? Spot on, because people shouldn't get away with it in the penalty area as they do.
Mm.
And he kind of stopped that. And it doesn't seem like he does it as much anymore.
Because
maybe
you get seen as a referee who gives away too many penalties. But it's just like, he's applying the rules correctly.
His first red card in the Prem was in 2001. Sent off? Norberto Solano, you are correct.
Oh.
Averages a red card every 4.9 matches.
I can't remember Nobby having that many red cards.
Well, that's Deeney for you.
Naughty boy.
Nothing gets past him. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for emails with PED.
Say I'm the only bee in your bunny.
Not the bees!
Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Have you seen Nicolas Cage's son?
No.
He's a big, chunky, like, really beefy goth.
Oh, is he really?
Give him a Google. Hmm. He's tremendous.
Have we had an email about that?
Shut up. Owen Roberts says, hi guys, just a quick email about some wild celebrations at St. James's Park during a Newcastle match I attended about a decade ago. I forget who the opposition were, but I attended with my friend Brian. Thanks for the colour there. At the moment, Newcastle scored what turned out to be the winning goal. My friend Brian inadvertently launched his steaming hot mince pie down the stand and into the crowd. As the crowd celebrated wildly, I observed the pie hit a Newcastle fan further down the stand square in the face. Rather than turn around and angrily expect who threw the offending item, he didn't bat an eyelid and simply continued to celebrate. So, wow. Since then, I've always had that moment as my benchmark for being committed to your team. What a guy. Hashtag pie in the eye. Thank you for that, Owen Robinson. Hello to James Booker. It's another Newcastle one. You mentioned Shola Amiobi being one of Newcastle's more attentive landlords. While studying at Newcastle University, a course friend of mine who lived on the same street told me that not only was he her landlord, but was also involved in helping them move and even chipped in with dragging a mattress up several flights of stairs.
Ah.
Lovely block.
That's a hassle as well. One of the hardest things. If it's a big, heavy double mattress, that's one of the hardest things just because of the shape.
I once had to shove a mattress into a loft through a small loft opening.
Oh, yeah. Fold it over.
It felt like childbirth. It was just ridiculous. Yeah. I was there for ages.
Yeah. What, I mean, was it have a particular, was it sort of incriminating? Or what were you putting it up there?
Just didn't, never you mind.
Okay, right.
Never you mind.
Did it, when it did go through, did it make a really satisfying spring though?
Yeah, it must have been.
Like,
oh. It must have been worth it.
Did the person you were passing it to appreciate it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was huge day. That was okay.
Peter!
Oh, what? If I said he was dead, it would be different.
No, it would still be a dead person.
Yeah, all right, fine. Yeah. Samyak Pradhan. Hello, Samyak. Hello, guys. Oh, okay, guys, he says. Why did I choose that hello? I do not know. This is my first ever mail to the Football Ramble. I am an avid listener from the other side of the world, from New Delhi, India.
Ah.
Hello from India.
Hello.
To India. A report on a local news website caught my eye today, and I thought you guys might be interested. Sam Allardyce, former England manager, is one of the 250 applicants for the Indian football team manager, along with Raymond Domenech.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Dream team.
There we go.
Domenech.
One final payday. A man with vision to grace Indian football. A fall from grace. You guys decide. Albert Rocker as well.
Love that. Imagine seeing Allardyce and Domenech doing it together. Oh, the chalk and cheese of that. Yeah. That's a documentary series.
I'd like to see it. Well, I'm torn here because I would quite like it to see it go to Sam, so he goes there.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think it'd be good to see Domenech doing it.
Yeah. World Cup finalist.
Yeah, indeed.
It's just good that they're both on the market.
Avid astrologer as well.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah, remember, famously, was it Robert Perez didn't pick because he was a Rolling Star
Mexus,
sign?
Maybe?
Oh, yes, okay. Yeah, I thought you said astronomer.
And after they got knocked out of a tournament, he proposed to his girlfriend.
Yeah,
and she said post-match, no. And she said no,
Oh,
he's a Kevin Keegan of France, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Madness.
Bit, yeah.
Slightly.
Hello to Freddie the Pompey fan. Hearing your talk of Ole and Shola, the landlords, which is a wonderful sitcom I'd like to see, it reminded me that my friend used to rent out his flat to Abby Clancy and her husband Rodders himself, Peter Crouch. Presumably they chose it thanks to the high ceilings and proximity to London Zoo, in case Crouch, you ever wanted to check out the giraffes. They were dream tenants. Not only being dream tenants, they never once complained about the dodgy central heating. So we've heard from great landlords, even better tenants.
Yeah, when Peter Crouch played for Portsmouth, he had a place in the next village along from where my parents live, and that everyone really loved them. So they were really nice local residents.
Lovely.
Yes, and people, it's that kind of village where people care about that kind of stuff, you know?
Well, everyone should care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing wrong with a bit of a sense of community, is there, Marcus?
Correctamundo.
Yeah. All right, good.
There we are. Thanks, Petey.
If you want to get in touch with the show, it is show@thefootballramble.com.
Time for a break, brother. Hit that button.
I will.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's been a while
since the Football Ramble toured, so come see the Football Ramble live.
RambleLive.com.
Yeah, and we should point out, actually, that...
tickets are selling fast.
Tickets went on sale on Thursday, I believe, and so a week ago. And I think all the stalls are sold out in the London show, possibly the Shepherd's Bush other London show as well. They're going fast in Newcastle. So don't... I mean, though we've said that other dates will be available... Don't sort of hide your light under a bushel.
No.
Go now. Get your tickets now because it's going to be difficult if you can't get them in the future. And you start sending your emails in complaining. Yeah. RambleLive.com. We'd love to see you there. There'll be a beer afterwards. It'll be lots of fun. Don't know what Pete's got planned. Come and find out.
I've seen people start complaining. Oh, you've got no shows in the Midlands, right? We're doing
Birmingham.
Northampton.
Sheffield.
I mean, High Wycombe's near
Sheffield's
the Midlands.
Midlands. Yeah. Get out.
Hey?
No, Sheffield's not the Midlands.
Get out.
North.
I mean, if you live...
Here we go.
No.
Get the map up.
You will
get,
right, if you want emails, you can have emails, Luke.
Right.
To be fair, Sheffield is north. It's not Midlands.
Fine, but I'm saying, if, for example...
If you live in the Midlands, Sheffield's not that far.
We have to travel to every show. Right? That's what I'm saying.
What?
If you live in Stoke, right? If you live in Stoke,
yeah.
I've got the Google Maps up here,
yeah.
And you want, and the nearest show to you is Sheffield, okay?
Well, it's not going to be Birmingham, wouldn't it?
Pop in your car. It's an hour and a half.
Right.
Okay? If you live in Stoke and you want to go to Birmingham... Okay.
Half right. an hour, wasn't it?
And that's the biryani High Street Manchester. That's not what I need.
People can do this themselves, I think.
Yeah, but it's fine. You carry on. I told you to carry on.
Okay. RambleLive.com.
Oh, it's 56 minutes from Stoke to Birmingham.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah. It'll take us 3 hours to get there. Absolutely. Carry on, Marcus.
That's okay.
RambleLive.com. Please do come.
Okay, well, let's go way up north to Newcastle. They're at home to Crystal Palace in the Premier League.
We are doing a show in Newcastle.
We are, but not Crystal Palace. They became the first team ever to lose a match at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
They did.
That's the name of the stadium at the moment, isn't it?
It is at the moment, yeah.
They want to sell it to people.
There's rumours that there was a rumour it was going to be the Nike Stadium.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. That would be clean, wouldn't it?
I was at the opening last night. Very, very impressive stadium. Mm. Incredible place, really. Well worth the wait. I was in the stand, which is the largest of its type in the UK, that single-tier south stand, which holds, I think, over 17,000 people in one tier, which is incredible.
It's based on the yellow wall, isn't it?
The Dortmund stadium. Yeah, it's amazing.
Did you take your top off?
I should have.
Okay.
I didn't know. Do you know what? I did what I feel like I would get annoyed at myself for doing... given the amount of football games I've been to, I underestimated how cold it was going to be.
Mm.
And so I was freezing. So
always wear one more layer than you
Yeah, exactly, needs. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought Spurs were a bit
nervous.
Were
you there for the opening ceremony?
Yeah, but it only went on for about 15 minutes.
Like, it got a bit of stick.
Did it?
Yeah, people say no, it was a bit unnecessary, but then isn't that a lot of people?
I thought it was okay.
You've got to market somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt that the Spurs fans were really pleased to be there, as you can probably expect. The atmosphere was great.
Mm.
The opening ceremony was a group of local choir that was founded in the light of the riots, which of course,
right.
the London riots, which of mm-hmm. course, the genesis of which was in Tottenham.
Mm-hmm. Cord Green.
And then there was an opera singer came out, who I later found out was the Go Compare guy.
No way.
I think that's what people have said. He wasn't dressed with a moustache at the time.
Mm. But, why not? Your money maker.
I actually thought it was quite an understated kind of thing. I mean, it was nowhere near the ridiculousness of the West Ham Stadium closing ceremony. It was a choir. They sang a nice song. The opera singer came out. When the Spurs go marching in.
Yeah.
There was fireworks. Uh-huh. And really, they just got the game on. It didn't go on for very long.
People will complain about everything.
Yeah, they will.
Also,
It's not football.
What are they going to do? Run through everything they've won?
Well, they could have done that. It would have taken less than 15 minutes, wouldn't it?
I would have liked a little bit more orchestration in the final third of Spurs, thank you.
Yeah, once they scored their goal, they relaxed.
Tell you what, though,
it, yeah.
Great goals to get that stadium going, wasn't
there?
There
is no
great start.
No, but like there was no more fitting goal scorer than
Milivojevic putting it through his own net.
Shut up.
But they
if that was any other night in any other stadium, that would have been given us an own goal.
One thing that does look good, and does this translate when you're there, Luke, is obviously they've put so much into making the atmosphere great there, and the crowd look very close to the pitch in a good sense.
Yeah.
Stop making a wanker song while you're doing that.
Yeah. It does feel like a cold room. Even when I got there early and I was in there when there was no fans there, it felt like a very nice... It achieves a cool thing, which is that it's big. Mm. It's like 62,000, but it feels quite intimate.
Yeah.
So the noise does ring around it. Yeah. But I don't know if that's because we're used to seeing Spurs at Wembley, and that's a nightmare for atmosphere.
Because White Hart Lane was good for atmosphere.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the only thing I would say, by the way, is just the transport links for people. I'm talking about the real issues that football fans face every time they go to a game. That the transport links have not been improved sufficiently at this point. to go from a 36,000, which White Hart Lane was, to a 62,000. I mean, it was a little bit of a nightmare getting out.
So you still have to walk from Seven Sisters up that big old road.
Yeah, you can. Well, you can do the normal stuff. We did that.
Because obviously Spurs Stadium is the most sort of high-tech and fancy stadium in the world now, people are saying. No sooner is that open, Real Madrid have said, well, we're going to improve our stadium.
That's so typical of Real Madrid. Yeah, of course it is. But anyway, on the Spurs performance, just very quickly, they were nervous. You could tell that the sense of occasion was sort of weighing quite heavily on them. As soon as they scored their first goal, they were fine. When Harry Winks came on, they were so different. I'm convinced now that along with, obviously, with Kane or whatever, he's their most important player. Oh, and Winksy. He could be a really important player for England
I thought it was a shame that Andros Townsend was on the bench. I mean, he may well have injured himself when he came off the other day and punched the dugout. I don't know. But he's Hodgson in cahoots with Pete Donaldson.
He came on, he didn't really have an impact when he came on. Yeah. Didn't really do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be sending off on Crystal Palace's side. They were getting really frustrated. Certainly on the left, they were just like,
We should have been playing at Wembley.
I imagine they'll get back on the horse against Newcastle this weekend.
Yeah. Well, they've got a chance, haven't they? They're 13th on 36 points. Newcastle are 14th on 35 points. It's 13th versus 14th. Thigh rubber. This week, though, Rafa Benitez was speaking about his affection towards the Newcastle fans. And then he bemoaned the lack of investment in the team, particularly in attack. And
Isn't that every week?
Same as it ever was.
What else could he do at this point?
Hasn't that sentence been the running order every week since the season started?
I hate to mention it again.
Yeah.
But Perez was signed for 1.5 million about five seasons ago.
And he's returned that investment.
He's actually done all right.
He's done all right.
Rafa, how do you feel the season's going? I mean, we're doing okay. However, I hate to sound like a broken record.
I really want to stay.
Yeah, I want to say something else. I really want to say something else, but I just feel at the moment I can't.
Crystal Palace are 2-1 to win at St James's Park. £10 with Bet365 returns £30, including stake.
I thought even the positive choices against Arsenal on Monday night, obviously after the Ramble record, I thought Arsenal looked really disorganised at the back, really nervy and jumpy.
I don't know about that.
I was having a real go and watched the game and everyone
clean sheet.
I know it was a clean sheet, but Newcastle got nothing. In some matches, Newcastle play on the break and they've got a little bit of speed and stuff, but the problem is the guy up front is a little less mobile than that.
I see. Scored against Argentina though, mate, so leave off. All right, well, let's talk about Arsenal then. They're away to Everton, of course. Big M and the Gunners are well in contention for a top four finish. They put a Newcastle to the sword on Monday night, did they not, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, mildly, I suppose.
But yeah, it was killed softly with the sword.
I think it was a comfortable victory despite Mustafi's incredible cross. I think we should talk
about
that.
That was amazing. Oh, Sissoko did one of those last night for Spurs. Yeah. It was incredible. I was thinking, how can a £30 million player even have that in his mind?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. And Mustafi was very similar.
Well, Mustafi beat a couple of players and like made this marauding run down the wing. But then he seemed to just remember his skill set. Yeah. And just absolutely bludgeoned it into the opposite side of the stadium.
Wasn't he a £30 million player as well?
I think he was, yeah. Yeah.
Is Guendouzi okay?
Why?
How do you mean?
He just looks a bit off.
He has that in him. He's 19 years old and he's one of Guendouzi's faults is that he sometimes doesn't seem that aware of danger and sort of, will just sort of ignore what's going on around him.
Pace will be able to pick it up every now and again.
He's got a lot about him, though.
He's been out with Benjamin Mendy.
But yeah, I thought Arsenal were very good. And going into this run, obviously, it's so tight for the top four. Every team in it has to be looking at trying to win every game, which is going to be difficult, obviously, but that's basically the task at hand. And obviously, earlier on in the season, Arsenal put a very, very good run together, but they weren't always that convincing. But they're in better form now than they were during that run, but it's just they've got to carry it into those away games. Five away games is a lot. It's a big ask.
Ozil's playing well, though.
He is, and at a vital time. And Aaron Ramsey is being the absolute model pro at the moment as well. I couldn't ask for more from him.
It's crazy that they've only won away from home once in the Premier League this season since the turn of the year.
Mm.
They've won Arsenal this year. They've won... Didn't they beat Blackpool in the FA Cup away? And then they beat Huddersfield away. And they haven't won an away game since, apart from that, this calendar year. Which, given they're doing so well...
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, they've obviously got a lot of draws in that and they've played some tough games and everything and they had a good draw against Spurs, which they could have won, of course. Their away games are fairly sort of manageable.
Wolves and Watford, though.
Yes.
Away? Although actually Watford's at home, I think.
Everton, you never... No, Watford, it's away.
Right, okay.
You never know what you're getting at Everton, which are, who they play this
week. Let's talk about how Silva sets up against better teams.
No.
We always do that.
You don't know what you're going to get against Everton. They can beat Watford, Leicester and Burnley away.
Yeah.
But Watford and Leicester away, one of those away. Ones where you think...
Wolves away is a funny one.
Yeah, Wolves, Leicester and Watford away, you could do without those.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree. But it's not as cut and dry as that. It's not as cut and dry as, oh, they win all their home games, but they lose their away games, so they're not going to finish in the top four.
Absolutely.
There's been more twists and turns than definitely. That.
The sad thing is that Theo Walcott probably won't face his old side at the moment. He's on the bench. He's been dropped.
Yeah,
he's he has sort of, well, run and stood still, effectively, which is, I suppose, should be the title of his autobiography, really. I hoped it would work out for Walcott there, and you know he was in the team a lot.
Had some moments,
he's not scored a huge amount of goals.
A lot of money.
He felt like he is the highest paid player. He felt like a guy in need of the move. It felt like a good thing for everyone concerned. Unfortunately, he's now playing under a completely different manager. Yeah. He's played under two different managers since Wenger, of course, and he's not progressed. His contribution for a player of his type. Is woefully inept. I mean, he's contributed one goal since October, no assists. The goal came against a 6-2 smashing against Spurs anyway, where they got heavily beaten, which is something that's been levelled at Walcott in the past, isn't it? That these goals he scores are kind of irrelevant. Although in that game, I think it was the first goal of the game he scored, so maybe you'd be a bit harsh there. For a player on those wages, and for a player with the reputation he's had throughout his career, which I admit partly isn't his fault, his contribution has not been anywhere near good enough. And actually, we have seen flashes of Theo Walcott for Arsenal, for England, possibly even for Everton. There's been nothing consistent about his whole career. And it's not surprising. It's sad, but it's not surprising. Marcus Silva wants to win games. He has to leave him out.
Well, they've said they're pivoting towards younger players. They're just not going to be bringing in those 30-year-old. How old is he? He's 30 now, isn't he?
22.
It's a prospect.
Yeah, exactly.
So they've sort of pivoted. So they're only going to be spending... like moderate amounts of money on younger players, which is can only be a good thing. Absolutely. In their position. Absolutely. I think.
All right then, guys, let's have a best bet with Bet365.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. I was just having a quick drink.
Little drinky.
It's only water. Over 2.5 goals, by the way, in that game, Arsenal Everton's 4-6 with Bet365. Just point that out. It's £10 return, £16.67, including stake. I was supposed to say that earlier. I got carried away thinking about Theo Walcott.
Don't you worry.
Best bet is from Dwight Moe.
DM in our DMs.
DM sliding into our DMs. He actually emailed.
Duomo.
Hey guys, it's too bad you didn't take my suggestion last week. All right.
That's your chance.
Yeah, he's decided to come in again. It's quite a funny email, this. It's too bad you didn't take my suggestion last week. See below. To keep everything as tight as possible up top. Since I was right that Liverpool, both Manchester clubs, Arsenal and Chelsea would all win, which would have come in at 5-1. It was a squeaky bum special, he said. This time, looking down the bottom of the table, we'll call this weekend's effort kick 'em while they're down. Leicester to win to nil versus Huddersfield at 15-8. Sorry, Terriers, but B-Rog has to pad out his stats, don't you know? So Leicester to beat Huddersfield to nil is 15-8. £50 returns, £143.75, including stake. With all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK, you must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org. 15-8, Leicester to beat Huddersfield to nil is our best bet with Bet365.
Good one.
Look out for it.
Absolutely. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Going for Gold.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, what you would have played our game. These people are coming, everyone's trying to be here the best.
Glold, how the devil are you? Samuel Harper.
I haven't had a win for ages.
I know. Gagging for it. For a win, Luke Moore. So this is Going for Glold. There's a mystery footballer in my mind and on my iPhone. And I'm going to be reading out some clues written this week by Samuel Harper. These guys have to guess who it is. Your first clue, gentlemen. And I will be going at pace, not as fast as last week, but I will be going at pace. So no whining.
Yeah.
Like pigs. I was pawn. Or born on the 30th of September 1977.
Stop. Benoit Asuakoto.
Incorrect. I moved to England in 1995, joining Hull City as a trainee. My honours include one Premier League title, one FA Cup, the Greek Super League, and Danish Goalkeeper of the Year.
Ooh. Stop. Peter Schmeichel. Casper Schmeichel.
Incorrect, incorrect. I have amassed 45 international caps, the first 19 coming between 1997 and 2006. I then returned to the international stage in 2012 after impressing for Olympiacos.
This is quite an interesting, quite confusing one, this
is.
Yeah, I mean, is Danish goalkeeper of the year, Danish league keeper of the year? Or
a guy who played in the division.
It's the Hull City trainee thing. Never came in at a big level.
Hmm. I also had a one-game managerial career, leading Barnet to a 2-1 victory in the 2011 Hearts Senior Cup Final against Stevenage. I therefore hold the unusual honour of having won a trophy in my only game as manager.
Stop. Stig Danepack.
What? Who is Stig Danepack?
Just made him up.
Oh, good. I'm glad I questioned it then. I think that a lot when I'm doing the ramble.
Yeah. So, what was
Wayne Rooney?
What was the honour? Sorry, of Premier League? Did you say
one Premier League title, one FA Cup, the Greek Super League, and the Danish goalkeeper of the year?
Stop, Massimo Taibbi.
Incorrect.
Imagine Barnett.
I know. I had a guess, Luke. And you know me. I like a pot shot.
Fair enough. Don't score me. Don't shoot me.
Yeah.
Stop. Alex Menninger.
Incorrect. On the 15th of November 2014, you're allowed to guess this, but once I start talking, you're not allowed to guess. On the 5th of November 2014, less than 24 hours after playing an international match in Bucharest, Romania, I kept a clean sheet as Notts County won 1-0 away at Coventry City.
What? It's good. Notts County and it's not Kasper Schmeichel?
It's not Kasper Schmeichel.
Stop. Mark Poom.
Incorrect.
He's Estonian, is he not?
Yeah, but he can't play in Holland.
Yeah, true.
Denmark and Greece.
Yeah. Oh, Denmark, yeah.
Some of my other clubs include Wigan, West Ham, Derby, Manchester United, and my current club, Linfield.
Stop. Ah, oh, no, he's going to be too young.
Stop. Roy Carroll.
Marcus
Paul. Yeah, well done, mate.
I actually waved my hands there to thinking, can I go now?
The goal that never was.
Yeah.
Lord. So you're tapping away, Luke, checking.
No, I just want to know who you played for in Denmark. Apparently he played for Odense.
Yeah.
And you guys, Jim and Luke, are Odense.
Odense.
Get in there!
Well done, Marcus. Good win, mate.
It's a solid
lovely
old job.
Solid.
Just about got there, but it was a good one.
It was very good.
Strung us along.
It was a good one because it had the quality you're looking for going for gold, where it
twists and turns
different ways.
Twists and turns.
So I'm half expecting not to even be a goalkeeper or something at that point.
I am loving the fact that every week someone will suggest Mia Hamm and I never select it.
Okay, right.
Every time, Mia Hamm. No, not happening.
Stop.
Is it Mia Hamm?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's a pleasure, as always. See you on Monday. Thanks, Lukey.
Cheers.
Thanks, Petey.
Ta-ta.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Bye.
Thank you.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.